Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous, fabulous Friday. And who else? But we want to bring in none other than Stephen Hargis to preview the first round of the Tennessee High School Playoffs. We talked last week to Stephen about how we made it through a regular season, and now we get the playoffs. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Doing all right. Now, of course, you had a couple of really good articles today in the Times Free Press, and you noted the fact that Hamilton County has a policy, one COVID test, and you're done. And that's already gotten Howard, right?
It did, and it is definitely a concern for our local teams in the county. The eight teams in the county that start playing tonight. I mean, unlike, as I mentioned in the article, the outlying counties that neighbor Hamilton County are not quite as strict. Whereas if you have one player that tests positive, then they would contact trace back to that kid and see if or how many of his teammates were within 6 feet of him for between 10 and 15 minutes. I think it varies by county. But, so that would mean, only maybe a couple at most players would likely have to quarantine from those teams. Whereas in Hamilton County, if you have one kid who tests positive, then the entire team is quarantined for 14 days, which obviously that would mean their season would end in the playoffs.
What do you think Vic Grider will tolerate?
I think he's glad that Marion County has the policy that they have. I know in researching, he and Jason Fitzgerald at Megs, they both feel really good about their chances in the playoffs. So they've even expanded what they were doing before. Vic now has to their dressing in three different locker rooms, basically the starters, the main guys in the main locker room, and then the second team guys in the visitors' locker room, and then he has sent the young kids, the freshmen, down to the junior high locker room to dress every day and send some kids that don't really play much, send them home early from practice every day. So if one of them were to test positive, it wouldn't come back to bite.
How much has Vic spent on bubbles for his starters and stars?
probably more than some countries have spent on food and rations in the last year. They have definitely, this was the year that they've got a lot of talent, a lot of seniors, and they felt like for the last couple of years that this was the team they were pointing toward as being, having their best chance to win a state championship again. And so I think they're going to do everything they can to protect those kids. And of course, Jason Fitzgerald was laughing this week and said the same thing. They literally time their kids when they go in in shifts to get ready for before game or before practice. And Jason's out there and gives them like 5 minutes to get dressed and ready. If you have to come out running outside with your socks and shoes and put them on outside, that's probably okay. But you've got a time limit to get dressed and get back out into the open air.
So a ninth grader for the Pirates that's developing a runny nose, that kid's going to be nowhere near Hunter Frame.
No.
Well, that kid's going to be nowhere near South Pittsburgh. Vic's going to put him on a train to Murfreesboro.
All right, and you had a great point today. I've already brought it up, but Grant Reynolds, letting 33 freshmen or whatever you wrote go. I mean, just because Hamilton County School, that increases the chance of a positive COVID test with 33 kids around.
Yeah, and Grant made a great point. He said, look, we're trying to salvage this season for the seniors. How bad do the seniors feel, or even the freshmen? If you're the freshman kid and you get tested and you have it and you cause your team to be shut down, how bad is he going to feel for his teammates and especially for the seniors? So, Grant admitted, look, we're trying to salvage this season. The seniors have been through enough already this calendar year. We want to be able to win or lose it on a field and not be told that we can't even go out there and compete. So he basically just called it, called some parents in and told them this was the decision. He said, all of them understood, but the freshman parents even still volunteered to help with parking or concessions or things like that. They all understood, the reasoning behind it. So they were okay with it, but that just tells you kind of where they are. You want to limit the possibilities of having a kid. If you take 33 kids off there, there's 33 less chances you have of having your season end because of COVID.
Now, that you brought up a really good point about how bad would the freshman feel, but he he'd feel bad in the moment. He'd feel a hell of a lot worse come 14 days when those seniors got their hands on him.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, you had the chance to talk to John Starr for your column today, and he always seems like such a likable guy. I know Howard was going to be an underdog this week in the playoffs anyway, but still, they had their season decided for them by a COVID outbreak. How did he seem when you talked to him? Was he pretty bummed?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he is super, super guy. I mean, Howard is so lucky to have that guy at their school, leading the football team, and not just that, but also, you know, in the hallways, just as an example for the kids. Was pretty bummed, but as he said, more bummed for the seniors. But he also said, look, I've had a couple of people in his life that he said he's lost because of COVID. And he said the main thing is, as bad as you feel for the seniors, you'd feel that much worse if one of these kids took the virus home, gave it to a grandmother, and they lost a loved one. As he said for the paper, I'd rather lose the chance to play in the playoffs than to lose somebody's loved one over this. So, and I think, you know, it probably helps the fact that they had a good season. They came back really young. He's got a lot of his guys back next year. They're, you know, 8 or 9 starters are sophomores, so a lot of those guys are coming back. So they did have a good season, and when they weren't able to play last week against East Hamilton, he said that was the one that hurt more. Because they win that one, they've got a chance to host, and they get a more beatable opponent in the first round. They would have gotten Sullivan South instead of having to go on the road to Greenville. So, you know, he was realistic about it. He said, look, you know, you go on the road, you're probably going to be a big-time underdog on the road there. He said, you know, it really hurt more last week because that would have given them a chance to be more competitive in a first-round game.
When you think about some of tonight's matchups, like Sullivan South at East Hamilton, Powell at Walker Valley, talk about CCS at Knox Grace. I mean, you've got a bunch of games that look like an absolute flip of the coin. What game kind of has you most intrigued tonight?
Those that you mentioned are really good. Walker Valley, the way they're playing right now, Walker Valley hosts Powell. And this will be the first time Walker Valley's hosted a playoff game since like 2004. And Drew Aikens is doing just a marvelous job, especially with the offense. I mean, those guys have been averaging, you know, close to 50 points over the last 3 or 4 games. They can put some points on the board, but they've got a really good Powell team that's won 8 games coming in. So that one could be really good. The East Hamilton Sullivan South is a rematch last year where, you know, contrasting styles. East Hamilton wants to throw the ball around everywhere. Sullivan South has a big offensive line. They're going to run the ball a lot. And last year, Sullivan South needed to get a 4th-and-2 late in the game to be able to run out the clock and hold off Walker Valley. So you're looking for something similar probably this year. Those two, I tell you one that I really want to keep an eye on is Brainerd had 7 starters that Tyrus Ward sat last week against McMinn Central. They lost that game. They got upset. That cost him second place and a chance to host in the first round, and also handed by that game and Red Bank going on the road and beating Loudoun, Red Bank then wins the region. Well, now Brainerd has to go on the road tonight. But I tell you what, they get those 7 starters back, and they're playing a Smith County team that's about a .500 team, and Brainerd's, you know, got 6 wins already this year. Now that they're back completely healthy, and those guys that had some great issues last week, basically it was Tyrus just getting their attention and saying, I don't care how important the game is, it's not more important than your grades. So he sat them, which is commendable.
You know, that is, that's cool.
And Jay knows and thinks the world of Tyrus. You know, that doesn't surprise us that he would do something like that. It cost him a game. But I would fully expect them to have a real puncher's chance going on the road to Smith County and coming back with a win.
Are you going to call Tyrus Coach Carter now?
I tell you what, that's another guy. I mean, he's a younger version of John Starr, just in terms of what he does with those kids. I mean, just we knew, you know, years ago when he was an offensive coordinator around town, he was going to be a star once he got a chance to be a head coach. And you know, what he's done already, I mean, Brainerd's got their most wins already with 6 wins. That's the most wins in more than a decade for them. And Tyrus is, you know, just doing unbelievable job with about 26 players this year to do what he's done is really, really impressive.
Public or private, who's the last Hamilton County team standing?
Probably, if Macaulay's getting Eric Rivers back and some of their guys have been banged up, I'm not going to ever bet against Ralph Potter, and especially if they get healthy all of a sudden. You know, they'll start their playoffs next week. But among the publics and privates within Hamilton County, I would put my money on Macaulay having the best chance of being the last man standing.
And but I mean, along what Jay asked, I mean, Baylor McCollum, neither one of them got great draws, did they? I mean, they both got to hit the road.
No, they got to hit the road next week, so they've got the work cut out for them. And a lot of it, like I said, a lot of it's going to depend on if McCauley gets some of their guys who are hurt, if they're back healthy. If they're not, then I would put my money squarely on Red Bank. I think they've got a point to prove. You know, they're kind of ticked off that, you know, when I talked to Chris Brown earlier in the week, that they feel like they've been overlooked a lot because they've had those three games that got canceled because of COVID, and they were three big games, you know, where showcase kind of games where they could show just how good they were. And they're another one that didn't have a full lineup of healthy guys since the second week of the season. Now they've, you know, some guys who were, you know, had broken wrists or, you know, hand injuries, you know, leg injuries, things like that. They're all back healthy now. So Red Bank going tonight, first time they've been healthy since the first week of the regular season, and they've got a chip on the shoulder. You know, I think they've got a chance to make a deep run, probably until they run into Alcoa.
If the Whiskey Hill Sportsbooks got Joe Burns plus 62.5 tonight,
well, you gave me 55.5.
I gave you 55.5.
Okay.
You wouldn't take it. I'm giving him.
I would lay 55 in a heartbeat.
Would you lay 62.5 with Vic against Joe Burns tonight?
In the first half?
No, overall.
I think because they want to. I have heard from when I spoke to him earlier this week, they also kind of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, especially after that Meigs County game where they feel like, and nobody does this more than Vic, where he feels like he's got people who are shortchanging them in his
work. He scored 400 points in seven games, and he's going to try to peddle that people are shortchanging us.
I think he wants to send a message, you know, whether they get Monterey would probably be who they would play next week. I think he wants to send a message around the state that they're not to be trifled with this year. He said, look, we're going to let our seniors go out the way seniors should go out. In other words, he's not taking them out of the game early.
Well, of course, they're getting used to winning games by 76 points, right? Haven't they won two in a row by 76 or two of the last three?
Yeah, they won. They put 84 in one game a couple of weeks ago, and that was seven touchdowns in a quarter. You know, that could easily happen tonight. I don't think Joe Burns is real good. And the times when they ran into each other in the 2010 state championship game, and Pittsburgh beat them 41-6. So that was Joe Burns' best team ever, and they couldn't come within 35 of them. So that should tell you something.
And before we let you go, I know you had written about Baylor today, that they announced that they had suspended team operations because members of the football program may have been exposed. Baylor's game at MBA, scheduled for next Friday night, has been moved back a day to Saturday, November 14th, giving us yet another thing for Masters Saturday in Alabama LSU. But Baylor and McCauley do not fall under the Hamilton County purview when it comes to the COVID rule like that, right?
No, but they are both really strict with what they're doing as well. I mean, you guys know
right. This.
It would be very similar. Whatever, if they had a kid on the team, it would probably be a similar situation. It wouldn't be maybe quite as cut and dry that they would definitely be quarantined and out. But they're not messing around with this either. They would certainly wouldn't hesitate to cancel if they had to. But you know, and hats off to NBA. I mean, that was they did not have to do that next week. They could have told Baylor, you know, tough cookies. You can't play on Friday. We get the forfeit win. And that was well within their rights and the NCAA, you know, their rules for this year. But NBA said, okay, if you're out of quarantine, you can play next Saturday. We'll play next Saturday.
Wow.
All right. Let's go back to I got two quick questions for you. One, are you the only person under the age of 75 that says tough cookies? And two.
Well, if we weren't on the radio, I'd probably.
I understand. You gotta pick and choose. To a conversation we had earlier.
Tough bosoms.
True or false, sidewalk chalk is a toy?
My daughter used to use that stuff, and it drove me crazy. Yeah, I guess that would have to be. I mean,
Damn it!
What about bingo?
I mean, bingo? No. As a toy?
Yeah. They were both finalists for the Toy Hall of Fame. Bingo did not get in, but Sidewalk Chalk is now a member of the Toy Hall of Fame.
I mean, I don't consider it a toy, but I mean, the fact that my daughter, it kept her busy on, you know, plenty of afternoons after school. She was out there playing sidewalk with her sidewalk chalk, drawing stuff while my son was shooting basketball. So, I mean, I guess technically, possibly a toy. I mean, for me, when I was growing up, it certainly would not have been a toy. I mean, you know, toys for us were
sticks.
G.I. Joe action figures
sticks.
Or Star Wars men or, yeah, sticks.
Sticks. I think the sticks should be in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Well, we also had Mattel and Coleco football.
The box should be in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Well, and for me, I mean, I can't tell you how much time I used to spend taking a wiffle bat and throwing rocks up in the air and hitting rocks. I mean, we lived way out in the country, so I'd see how far I could hit rocks with a wiffle bat. I mean, I could entertain myself for hours when I was 10 years old doing that.
Steven, wonderful job. Be sure you check out the picture Wells tweeted out on the ESPN 105.1 account. It is quite amusing.
Okay.
All right, thanks for all that you do.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Stephen Hargis always does a great job. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.